Yes.
What have you got?
Perfect.
I don't know.
Oh, no, you tell me.
The Frantoia, I'd say, or Corojola.
Are they ripe?
They're at a sweet spot, I'd say. You'll do well with those.
I've called into Lantara Grove near Exeter in the Tamar Valley. It's an established olive grove run by Martin and Sophie Grace.
If you get a nice avocado texture, that'll be the sweet spot for getting the oil out.
This morning there's been a steady stream of people dropping off buckets of maroon and green olives they've picked in their backyard.
Because we didn't actually fleece the whole tree, because it's impossible to do that. But it's only one tree, so that's not bad.
That's very good,
The olives are weighed and tipped into a large bin before they head to the press. Jim and Jenny Rudling have turned up with a couple of buckets of olives from their tree at Hawley Beach.
Well, we started off by trying to put them in a brine, but I think we figured out that it was the wrong type of olive for an eating olive.
Actually, we came up here and had might have been this guy that we had a chat to, and he went through the process of pickling olives, and we thought, nah, this isn't going to happen. So, they were very plentiful this morning, so we thought we'll pick them and do something productive with them.
Are you pleasantly surprised how much you've got?
Yeah, very happy with that,
Get some oil at the end of it.
That's a plan.
21.68. It's about half of last year's, but that's all right. No problem at all.
We're Liz and Bruce Dunn, and we live at Roseview, so we're in a very sunny, sheltered part of the world where our olives grow, probably the reason why they're big and black. so we haven't come very far, just, 10 minutes down the road.
How old's your tree?
The big tree is about 30 years old, and the others are about 12. We get the bulk of our olives off the 30-year-old tree.
Not usually, this year, though.
Usually.
And we've got this new one that we have, a little baby one, which has only been planted for a year, but it actually was covered in little green olives this year, so we brought them along. Yeah, and so I don't know whether they'll turn into big olives yet, whether it's the same sort as the other ones that we've got along the fence line. Yeah.
And you're hoping to get a couple of bottles?
Oh, well, we got four last year. We gave a bit of it away. We're a bit disappointed now because we had to buy some more. We bought some more of Martin's. But we've, we should get a couple of bottles, depending what the oil content's like, because it's only about 10% last year. So hopefully it'll be more than that.
It's just fun coming here and seeing, what your olives are like up against everyone else in a way, because you've got no idea. They're just in your garden, falling off the tree, and, pick them and find out whether they're any good is terrific.
And this is a much better way of using them than it is like pickling them, which we haven't had much success with. And we use olive oil every day, so it's really nice to have your own. Yeah.
The reason we came up with the idea is we were being approached by people at the Harvest Launceston Market Stall and saying, I've got a backyard olive tree, can you make it into oil for me? The answer is, one tree, probably not, unless that tree's got at least 100 kilos on it, and that would be incredibly unlikely. But when you combine your backyard tree with someone else's backyard tree with someone else's backyard tree, suddenly you start getting volumes that are big enough to be able to be put into our press and made into oil. So it makes sense to have a community harvest where people can just bring their backyard olives and make use of them. We find that most people are they try brining for one or two years and they get sick of that and they say, oh, look, it's just easier to make into oil, isn't it? And we can use that. It's something that happens in Europe quite frequently. When we visited the south of France a few years back, we noticed that they were doing that sort of thing there as well, where they'd allocate one day a year when all the villagers would come in and bring in their backyard olives and they'd have enough oil to last them for the rest of the year. So it's a good model and it's working really well. It's growing every year here. We're getting more and more olives every year, and people are just loving the oil that they get out. It's fresh and it's vibrant and it's a million times better than what you'll find from the supermarkets.
They also love, I guess, interacting with you as a commercial grower to get some tips on how to improve their yields.
Yes, that's exactly right. So we've given a few ideas on how to prune and get them maximise the fruit out of your trees. Yeah, they're learning a lot, and so that way they'll come back with more olives in future, and they'll be able to make their trees perform at their best.
So we've nearly reached the cutoff point for delivery for today. How many olives do you think you've got in that large bin?
Well, I think we're getting at about 350 kilos, maybe 400. We've got nearly 200 of our own to put in there as well. So it'll be over half a ton all up. So that should be a nice amount of oil. It'll keep me busy for the rest of the afternoon.
A few litres at least.
I think there'll be a lot of litres. I think people will be quite surprised. That it looks like we've got a good combination of varieties in there and colours. And so I think that it'll result in a good oil and a nice flavour based on the look of the olives.
Personally for you, how's the harvest gone and how are the olives coming off on your grove?
The halves has gone very well. We're getting lovely looking fruit. I'm very happy with the flavour that's coming out. It's got a beautiful creamy mouthfeel, the oil this year. We're a third of the way into our pruning program. So the overall volumes are lower because we've been pruning the trees down. But they've responded really well on the bits that we haven't pruned. So it's a 6-year program we've got to rejuvenate the canopy of the grove. By the time we come out of it, we'll end up with very high volumes going into the future.
And the oil has been doing pretty well locally and internationally.
Yes, we export to Japan as well, and we've won 2 gold medals in Japan. 2 years ago, we got a gold medal for our blood orange infused olive oil, and this year we got a gold medal for our lemon myrtle infused olive oil at the Olive Japan Awards, which are one of the premier olive awards in the world. And I suppose most people wouldn't associate Japan with olive oil, and I understand that, but no, they absolutely love their French and Italian cuisine there, and they love their olive oil. They really understand the flavour complexity. It's a big market for olive oil, and it's right there with the New York and LA and I think the London olive oil shows as well. So it's very well regarded. So I was super pleased to hear that we got another gold.
Long-term plans, you've got some young trees in the ground still expanding here?
Yes, we sure do. So we've planted quite a lot of new varieties. Some of them are table olives, particularly the California Queens and the Colossus Calamatas. Lovely large fruit, beautiful for eating, and also some beautiful new oil varieties, Oji Blanca and Verdale and Picual. So, we're hoping that when they come online that they'll be doing very well. Actually, we'll get a small crop from the Oji Blanca and the Picual this year, so I'm looking forward to picking those in the very near future. I think some of them we might even put into the second community press we've got later in the month.
It's Martin Grace from Lantara Grove near Exeter chatting there to Larissa Smith at the next Community Olive Press Day at the farm is Sunday, June 25, Picual. What a great name. In the south of the state, there's also an olive grove that has a close connection with Lantara. Paul Lovell takes his annual harvest from Kelleavy to Exeter in the north of the state for processing into olive oil. And Paul Lovell says the olive harvest at Rochford Hall this season is a bit later than normal.
Talking to other growers as well, some have just started picking a few and others are starting this weekend. Season's been really quite good, although because we haven't had a hot summer, it has delayed maturing, and therefore some of the growers we've been holding on a little bit longer this year just to get the ripening sort of where it needs to be to get the right oil content coming out of the fruit.
Are you early or late this year?
Probably about 2 weeks later than normal. We would normally be in the last week of May.
How does the harvest work? Do you do a family thing or what do you do?
Yeah, pretty much family and friends and extended willing, able hands. We use Italian rakes, which are battery-operated devices, which basically shake the trees and the branches, and we use nets underneath to collect the fruit. Then that's all bundled up and goes basically through a bit of a deleter before we then place it in a bin ready for the processor.
Now, who processes the oil for you? Do you do it?
No, we actually take ours north to Lantara Grove at Exeter, and Martin and Sophie Grace up there run a really good setup, and they're also into olives manufacture or production themselves, and they do several others around the place.
How long does your harvest take usually?
Yeah, we'll start on Friday week and get things underway. We'll have a sort of a strong day on the Saturday, and then hopefully finish about midday on Sunday. We hope to probably harvest perhaps a ton of fruit this year.
Well, it's not a huge olive grove, is it?
No, it's not. We're about 400 trees in the Kelleavy Valley. This year the fruit is looking particularly good, sort of the follow-up of several consistent spring and summer rainfall periods, and also this year especially even the autumn rainfall's been quite good. So It's nearly been one of the years in the south where irrigation hasn't really been necessary.
And what type of varieties of olives do you have?
We have Koroniki, which is a Greek variety. We have Piqual, Spanish variety. And we have several other what we call pollinators within the grove for cross-pollination. Some olive trees are self-pollinating, but in most cases it's good to have a small percentage, perhaps 10% of other trees, tree varieties through the grove, which assist in the pollination process.
And Paul, did you know much about olives before you started growing the trees?
No, not a lot, really. It's sort of learn as you go. I had some good mentors in the early days, and you just sort of, I suppose as time goes on, you just learn on the job. They're pretty forgiving sort of a tree. They'll grow in most situations. They're pretty much frost tolerant. And, you know, apart from some pruning in wintertime, you know, they can be a little bit biannual in bearing, which means, you know, obviously every second year you tend to get a better crop than perhaps the others. But then, you know, that all varies with the seasons as well.
And are you planning an expansion at all? Do you have land available for that?
No, we're pretty much at maximum where we are at the moment. Tony, on the property too, we also do villa accommodation, and also we do some weddings there as well because of the beauty of the grove and the actual property with the old 1878 cottage, which we occupy as well on the site. So we have sort of varying income streams from the property, which all go to pay for all the bills that come with it. It's not highly profitable, never was meant to be, but it sort of is self-sustaining, which sort of suits our stage in life.
Tell us the history of Rochford Hall. You mentioned that cottage. Who originally built it?
It was built by Captain Richard Copping, who was a famous seafarer who used to travel the seas from England to Tasmania back in those days, and he was a highly acclaimed seafarer. He has quite a feature on himself in the Maritime Museum in Hobart. He was very instrumental in the area, and the property's been a focal point of the Kellerby Copping area since the late 1800s.
So he ended up a farmer, did he?
Yes, he did. When he came off the sea, he ended up retiring to Kellerby, and he had an acreage there. I think originally it was about 86 acres that he was granted. The property that we now own is 6 acres, but it's in a quite prominent, well-secluded but sunny knoll on the Kellerby Road.
It's olive grower Paul Lovell from Kellerby talking about the upcoming harvest, which he expects to begin Friday week, pick the olives and then take them up north to Lintara Grove to turn them into olive oil.